Heavenly Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We know, Father, that, Lord, that there isn't anything that we can add to the great salvation that you have made for us. Oh, Lord, you pour out your Spirit upon us so that we can understand the things in your Word. Thank you, Lord. All we can do is lift up our voices in praise and thanksgiving for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for doing that work in our hearts, for bringing us to yourself, for allowing us to taste of the heavenlies here on earth. Oh, Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us this day. Oh, Lord, even though our flesh would war against us and do those things that are contrary to the things that we read in your Word, I pray, Father, that it would be by your Holy Spirit that we would yield our flesh, our members, unto righteousness as a testimony to those around us of what you can do in someone's life that is yielded to you. I pray, Father, that you would use me, use us this day as a testimony of who you are and what you want to do in people's lives. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. What a glorious day that the Lord has given us today, not because the sun is shining, but because he has shined his sun in our hearts. And we can look at the Word today, and we can see some of the things that, you know, things that are not always so clear. Some things are not so easy to take because of our flesh. And we kind of sometimes we repel against these things. And we're going to be looking at some of those things. The Sermon on the Plain today, we kind of touched on it last week briefly in passing, but it correlates kind of with the Sermon on the Mount, but doesn't go into quite as much detail. And as you have come to know in the way that I view things, and I know that the Lord doesn't put things here by accident or by happenstance or just kind of sort of. He is exact. There is a reason why the book of Luke is different than all of the other books. It's to show Jesus Christ in his humanity. He came, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. Now, in our mathematics, that doesn't kind of work out. You can't have 100% of one thing and 100% of another thing and still get 100%. But in God's economy, he is able to do these things. So Jesus Christ came as the Son of God, fully God, and gave up the right to use his deity here on earth, to show us how it was done, to be that example for us. And so, as we start to look in here, we see that he is able to heal. But he's doing all of these things not by his own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, to show us what is available to us as well as we yield. He yielded to the Father, and now we yield to him, and he then empowers us to do those things that he wants us to do, each severally according to the gifts given to us. Now, how do we know that we have any kind of gifts at all? What is the Lord prompting you to do? Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are able quite easily to go out and talk about the Lord to other people that they don't even know. They're able to just share the gift of evangelism with folks. They're able to articulate to the unsaved by their very words, just by being able to tell them about what's going on in their lives and be able to share with them Jesus Christ and bring many people to salvation. That's the gift of evangelizing. Not everybody has that gift. If you have that gift, then these are the things that you're going to do. It's not something, well, do I have this gift, or don't I have this gift, or why don't I have this gift? Just move in the gifts that the Lord has given you to do. And if he hasn't given you any gifts yet, that's okay. That's fine. In his time, and it's in his glory. We kind of look at our lives and we say, well, we have maybe 70, 80 years. I've got to get going. I've got to start doing something for the Lord. That's the flesh. You see, that's the flesh working against you in spiritual realms. Well, I'm not producing any of this fruit. You don't know that. You see, because it's spiritual. It's not something that you can discern. Only other people can see those things. And as your life starts to change, then people will come up to you and say, man, you're different. What's going on now? What's happening in your life? And those are the things that are the testimony. It isn't that that we see those things, but people look at you that have known you for a while and say, man, you're different. Something's different about you. How come you're not doing the same things that we are doing? Well, it's because of the change within me. And so Jesus, he said something specific. He says, I have not come to destroy the law, but I have come to fulfill the law. He didn't take away the law, but he fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law, which was the sacrifices. He came to be the sacrifices, so that when we sin, our sin is covered because of the sacrifice that he did. He came, he knew no sin, and became sin for us. So the penalty, like we read today in Romans 6, that the wages or the reward that we get for sinning is death. And you know in our world today that everybody dies. Everybody dies. Everybody will die. There is no reason why you would think within yourself that I will never die. Because death comes on us all. Because the wages of sin is death. That's our reward for sinning, is death. But we have life through Jesus Christ. As we have accepted Jesus Christ, he gives us eternal life. And so the wages that we get have been taken away. He took them from us. And then when we pass from this world, we go into the presence of God. You see, death is a state of being. A state of being with God or a state of being without God. And it's your choice. You get to choose which one you would have. Will you be with God or will you be without God when you leave this world? Now, that will determine where you... Now, the second death, as we read in the book of the Revelation, is separation from God for all eternity. That is the second death. Now, you know, I don't want to derail that, but that's the essence of what we're looking. You know, we're going to be looking at what the Lord is doing for us. Now, he gave us the law. And we're able to see that the Jewish people took the law and thought that they could fulfill the law in the flesh. If I just do these things, then I will be righteous. And they took on So they took on this pride. Well, in the word, in the law, it says God hates pride. And yet, if you're doing the law and you're saying that this is my righteousness, then you're going to be puffed up with pride. So, in essence, the Lord is saying, this is not how you do it. You don't do the law to become righteous. You're righteous as you do the law. You see, if you're righteous, you will do by nature those things. And Jesus is really going to hammer it down here in verse 20, which is where we're going to start today, in chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. First, we have to realize that he's not talking to the masses. He's talking to those who said, I'm going to follow you. They have made the commitment. So this is not for the unbeliever. So you can't put this on the unbeliever. You can only put this on the believer. And that's the only person that would want this on them. Who would go up and say, here's the law, which I can't keep, and now the Lord's going to put it on even thicker. He's going to put it on a little heavier for you. And he's doing this for a specific reason. He says, Blessed be ye, poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So first the Lord is addressing, look, if you're poor, if you're hungry, if you're weeping, okay, you are going to be recompensed with, you're going to be filled. You're not going to be hungry anymore. You're not going to weep anymore. You're going to laugh. These are the things that are going to happen to you when you get into the kingdom of God. That's where you're going to receive these things. We don't really want our compensations here. Because why waste it here? We want to be poor in the things of this world. Now, the poor, that when they because they're lacking the things of this world, and he's talking about the physical here, because it's it, 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 the The rich in this world have been compensated. They're comfortable in this world. But the poor, they're looking for something else. And you can see all around you, people are losing their jobs and they're reaching out for something. They're looking for something. Now what do I do? This God that I've been serving, my job and my paycheck, now it's gone. What do I do now? Now the Spirit of God is able to go in because they're poor. They're hungry. They're weeping because they have no hope. But we have the hope, and we are able to give them that hope. So as we have lost our jobs, perhaps, we can go up alongside to comfort them and says, hey, there is hope in Jesus Christ. In the end, this is what it's about. It isn't about being comfortable here in this world. It's being knowing God and having that peace that passes all understanding. But it is when you have nothing, you really have nothing to lose. And so the Lord will strip us from everything. If you remember the book of Job, Job had everything. He had family. He had sheep and oxen and money and all everything. And the Lord took it from him. But the one thing that he did have that could not be taken from him was the Lord, Jesus Christ. He couldn't take that away. He would not. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? She said, I can't do that because God has given me all these things and shall we receive good from God and not evil? But naked came I into the world and naked shall I return thither. And that's true for all of us. We brought nothing into this world. I can't remember. I had it written down here. In 1 Timothy 6, it says, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be with content. Let us be content with those things that we have. Why? Because they can be so easily taken away. Your house could burn down. You could lose your house. The government could come in and take these things from you and put you into a camp somewhere. And as long as you have food and raiment, be content with those things. Because God has given you everything that you have now. There isn't anything that you possess now that God did not give you. You may think, oh, well, I did these things because of my job or whatever. He gave you all of these things. And he did so, why? Because he loves you. And sometimes he takes these things away from us because he loves us. He wants us to depend solely on him and no other. Because we tend to get comfortable. And I look at the book of Judges. And I see when they got into the land, they had their inheritance, they had their fields, they had their crop, they had their cattle, and everything was at peace. But then they started to worship other gods. And so the Lord brought them tribulation. He brought them, the Philistines came in, the Amalekites came in and took them captive. And they cried out to God. And God delivered them. And then they went back peaceably again. What happens to us when we are at ease, when we are at peace? We forget God. We are a very forgetful people. We don't remember where we came from. We don't remember we have all of this. Oh man, life is good. I've got my cable. I've got a refrigerator stocked with food. What more could I need, man? Kick back. And what was the parable? He says, hey, take your ease, my soul. But the Lord says, thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of thee. So we get comfortable. So the Lord likes to shake us up. He likes to keep us, you know, on our toes. Well, actually on our knees. He doesn't want us really on our toes. Now, these things are the comfort to you, that the Lord would call the poor, the hungry, the weeping. Then you're not one of these. But you see, if you are, if you realize that this world has nothing for me, I have no ties to this world, then the gospel is going to be something that's going to be very attractive to you. Now, unlike the rich that he's going to call woes upon, but the interesting one here is, blessed are ye, verse 22, when men shall hate you and shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. For the Son of Man's sake. Not for being weird or anything like that, but and a lot of people do. They take their license to think that they can go out and just be weird and obnoxious to people. And when the people come against them, then they say, oh, well, I'm getting the persecution. Thank you, Lord, for the persecution. When they're really not doing anything for the Lord, they're doing things because they're obnoxious. And they're not moving by the Spirit. Now, how do you know you're moving by the Spirit? What are the gifts of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, when you're moving in those realms, rather than, we've got to stop this. We can't let this happen on our watch. Our kids are going to curse us forever if we allow this to happen. You're not allowing anything to happen. Everything that's transpiring in the world today is all according to God's plan. We got to remember that. That's one of the things that the Lord gives us about the sound mind, is that He has got everything under control. He saw the end of this world from the beginning. Before He created anything, He saw the end. Everything is transpiring according to His plan. And you look, you see, you mean it was the Lord's plan that all of these things happen? Yeah, absolutely. Everything. Because it's all written down in the book of the Revelation. Things that have not happened yet. We go through the prophets and we look at these things and we say, wow, these things have happened, but these things haven't happened yet. These things are going to happen. Why do we know that they're going to happen? Because of the things that He said was going to happen previously. The things that have come to pass. Jesus Christ and all the prophecies related to Him. Over 300 prophecies said that Jesus was going to do this, this, and this. And when I go through the Scriptures, I like to bring those things out so that you'll know that there are more than what has been counted so far. There's these little verses in there that just don't seem to make any sense until you apply them to Jesus. You say, wow, Jesus did that too. He walked on water. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. All of these things were predicted that He would do in the Scriptures. And so we just kind of like, in awe, wow, God knows what He's talking about. Absolutely, because He's seen it happen before. He's already seen it happen. He already knows what you guys are going to do tomorrow and the next day and every day until you stand before Him in glory. He knows everything that you're going to think. But in this realm that we live in, we have the opportunity, because we don't know, we have every opportunity to yield ourselves, to get rid of the things of the flesh, to deny the flesh, to pick up our crosses, and to walk with Him. That's why I chose that scripture. It's kind of like, it's interesting that the Lord chose it, actually, as we've been going through those things, how well it fits into the message that we're hearing today. Because it's about the choices that we make. We get to choose if we're going to follow God or if we're not going to follow God. That's the free will. We get to choose what we're going to do. Now, you all know that as you're going to, you come to a red light and you look at your gas gauge. Hey, it's not empty. Now, you better get some gas. And there's a gas station over here and there's a gas station over here. Which one should I go to? You have the free will to choose the left hand or the right hand. You can choose whichever one you want. But the Lord knew already which one you were going. And He set up a divine appointment that you were going to be a witness to somebody in that gas station. Some way, somehow, you will be a witness. Because no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you are a witness of Jesus Christ. Why? Because He lives within you. And everything you do, everything you say is being directed by Him. So don't think it's strange when people separate you from their company. Now, He said, hey, is a servant any better than his master? If they've received my words, they're definitely going to receive your words. But if they haven't, guess what's going to happen? The same things are going to happen. You're going to receive tribulation. People are going to want to get away from you because they don't understand. They think, oh, you're nuts. You're crazy. You know, the things are happening to you that I don't understand. I don't know why this change is going on. I don't understand because they can't understand it. You see, the natural man doesn't understand, nor can it know, the things of God because it's spiritually discerned. You didn't until you came to know the Lord. And now those around you that are seeing the change, seeing the transformation, they don't understand it. And so we just have to move out love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Take your militancy as part of your flesh and do away with it. Put it behind you. There is no need for it in God's kingdom. He is able to do things through His kindness. And we sang about that today. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It isn't the guy with the placard saying, you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ. Now, truth, to be sure. Yes, you're going to go to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ. But truth without love is brutality. Okay? And brutality, we know, does not cause repentance. It doesn't. It's the kindness of the Lord. Kindness is long-suffering, or the grace of God. It was the grace of God that draws us to Him. So, rejoice in that day. Rejoice in the days when they want to separate from your company. Titus chapter 2, we went over these last week, but I'll go over them again just for emphasis here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should follow forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So speaking of the separation, the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles were cast out by those who were doing the law, but they had no heart for it. They kept it to themselves. And that's not what we are to do, nor can we do it. The light that's in us will come through because it's a part of our personality now. Jesus Christ has come into our lives, and now you cannot contain him because you're being transformed by him. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you are denying yourself, and you're looking and saying, Lord, I want to change. I want to be transformed into your image. It's our desires. He changes our desires. Instead of being somebody that wants to conquer the world or they want to be rich in this life, he pulls back the curtain and says, this is what's going to happen to the rich in this world. This isn't what you want. And then all of a sudden, these things, they start to fade away. Well, you're right. I guess I really don't want those things. I want the things of the world to come. As when you were in the world, you didn't know that there was a world to come. But now you do. Now you know that there's a world to come, and now we're going to start putting our treasures there. And so he says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's what we're instantly rejoicing when these tribulations start to come. Now, I know everybody here, I don't really have to, you know, elaborate on that. I know everybody's doing that as tribulations come. We're just rejoicing. Yes, Lord, thank you that these things are happening because I know that I am yours. And the world knows that I am yours. The transformation is starting to take place. I'm beginning to desire the things, and the world is starting to see that, and they're deciding to, you know, a step back from me. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. In Colossians 3:23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So, and as we start to get into even more harder things that the Lord is going to do, this is the easy stuff here. You see, this separates the world from the believer. Because he goes on to say now, in verse 24, he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So here we see he's seeing into glory. He's seeing that great white throne judgment when people are going to wail and gnash and chew their tongues for pain because of the choices that they made. They chose this temporal world that is passing away as opposed to heaven that's going to be eternal. Being with God. That's what heaven is. It's being with God throughout eternity. Never being separated from God. Now we don't see God, but we long to. And then when we finally see him face to face, we are going to be so filled with joy that the things that we had to endure in this life will just, I don't even care about those things. The eternal weight of glory is nothing to be compared with the minor irritants that we had to go through to get there. All of those things. And so he's seeing at the great white throne judgment, he's going to see them. Hey, woe to you guys. you're going to be in despair. You're going to be wishing that you had the insight to see what I am seeing now. He saw the poor. They were the ones that the kingdom of God came to. He saw the rich, and they were complacent. They were, hey, they're happy where they are. I'm not going to change that. I'm cool. I'm here. That's good for you. That's fine for you. But man, I'm good. I'm golden. I've got everything that I need. I don't want for anything. Kind of like the church at Laodicea. When we look at the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. The church of the Laodiceans, they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But the Lord saw them as saying, hey, you're poor and blind and wretched and naked. You don't even know that you're spiritually dead. That you have nothing spiritual. You have physical things, but you have nothing spiritual. Buy from me. Buy from me. And so we can kind of see that in our day-to-day, in our days of prosperity, so-called. But it's just a ruse. It's just a trick of the enemy to keep you away from those things that are going to be spiritually good for you. Stuff. The stuff market. Now, he's going to get into some heavy-duty things. In verse 27, a lot of people kind of avoid this and they skip over it and go right to chapter 7. But here, he makes the caveat. He says, but I say unto you which hear. Now, remember one of the sayings that Jesus had, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have the spiritual ears to hear, then hear what the Lord is saying here now. But I say unto you that hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, how many of you are able to accomplish this? Yeah, show a hand. No, okay, none. All right, very good. Then you're with me. Then he's accomplished his purpose. He's made it to the point where this is not humanly possible. And he's doing this because he's trying to make a point here. It isn't about the doing of the law, per se. It's about being transformed so that you are able to do these things. You see, as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, the yielding of your flesh, then you're going to be able to start to do these things. And he's going to give you ample opportunity to be able to do that. Okay? As he's going through here, in James chapter 1, 22, I'm sure you all know this by heart, but I'm just going to go over this again so that it'll be fresh in your mind, because this is going to be, he's going to keep talking to us throughout the message here. He's saying, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, we can sit here and we can hear the word all day long, but if it has no effect on us, that's what James here is trying to tell us. If it has no effect, then you're deceiving yourself, thinking that you're something when you're not. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. Being able to, instead of the soul indulging the things of the flesh, your spirit is now in communion with God. It's always the point where whenever you're tempted, you're always tempted in your flesh. You're never tempted in your spirit, but always those things that will keep you away from God. In verse 23 of James 1, he says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So what James is here is telling us, through the natural man, we would look at this and say, man, I'm condemned because I'm not doing these things. However, the spiritual man now can look at these things and say, look, I'm a hearer, and now I have to confess before God that I am not able to do this. That's what it's driving us to. He's driving us to despair. As if the law wasn't enough to drive us to despair, he puts even more on there to drive us to despair. Say, I'm not calling you to do these things. I'm calling you to confess that you can't do these things. And that's what it is. When you confess to the Lord, Lord, I see it in your word, but I am not able to do these things. I can't do these things. And he's saying, yes. That's exactly where I need you to be. I need you to be at that place to confess to me that you cannot do it so that I can pour out my Spirit on you. And then you're going to see the transformation. Then you're going to see that you are able. But you're not going to take the credit for it. You're not going to say, it was because of the 12-step program that I went through that I was able to overcome my flesh, and then now I'm able to love my enemy with my teeth gritted, and you know, and but it's from the heart, because your heart has been transformed. You don't see them anymore as the enemy. In Exodus 23, 4 and 5, it says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If you see his ass of him that is lying, of him that hateth thee, lying under his burden, and wouldst forbear to help, thou shalt surely help him. You see, so this isn't something new. This was in the law already. But the Lord just brought it out, saying, hey, look, it's here. Are you not reading the law? Do you not hear the law? And he reiterates this in John. He says, how is it that you can't hear my words, even because you can't hear my speech? Because all of these things are spiritually discerned. Because you hate me, you hate my Father. And the Father sent me. If you were of the Father, then you would love me. But because you're not of the Father, you can't love me. You can't even hear my speech. It's, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but if somebody from the world starts to talk to you about things of the world that you really don't, man, you start tuning them out, and you see their lips moving, and you hear kind of mumbling going on, but man, I'm not getting anything that you're saying, because you're talking about the things of the world. I mean, any people in your workplace or whatever, that's happened to me on several times. Sometimes my boss, you know, come around, what are you talking about, you know, and, well, who cares what you did over the weekend or any of that kind of stuff, you know, what did you do? Or you do, you at the church. Yeah, well, big whoopee, you know. I said, oh, yeah, it was great because I was able to, I heard about the Word, I heard about Jesus Christ, and I could see that, man, I am a wretched sinner, and He saved me by His grace, not because of something that I did or anything that I was, but, man, He loves me, and I want to follow after Him. So, it says, do good to them that hate you. In Romans 12:17, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, as I read that, how many of you really took pleasure in the fact that you're heaping coals of fire on the guy's head? You know? I mean, come on, fess up, you know. I got to admit that was one of the things, man, I was broken because of all that, because I didn't feel that way, but then you thought, oh, coals of fire on his head. Oh, okay, now I can do that, you know, but that's flesh once again. So, but the Lord gives us opportunity after opportunity to have every opportunity to be able to do these things. Okay, we may fail the first time, the second time, the 450th time, the 790th time, but one day He's going to show us that your life is being changed, and you're going to honestly, in your heart, love your enemy. You're going to see that they have need. You're going to see that they need Jesus Christ. And you're going to be able to share it with them because you have been doing these things, because you haven't been recompensing evil for evil. You haven't been doing those things that they've been doing to you, you know, whatever it is that they are, you know, I mean, and if you think you won't meet somebody that needs the Lord, just on your way home, take notice of how many people get in your way, cut you off, or do whatever, and watch the Lord work on your heart. Watch this; these words will come back to you. Recompense no man evil for evil, you know. And the Lord's been working on my heart, you know. And I mean, I've been noticing it. It's just my wife has been noticing it. You know, wow, you didn't. Wow, yeah, okay, you're changing here. Oh, okay, so the Lord will work as long as we yield to Him. Those our members. In verse 28, bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And for him, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away the good, thy goods again, ask them not again. Here it is. He's telling us that just divest yourself of the things of this world. I gave you those things. If I want you to have them back, I'll give them to you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about those things. They're his. And so what we need to do is we need to dedicate those things, sanctify, set apart those things that we have for the Lord's purpose. So then if somebody comes and asks those things, oh, okay, the Lord's purposes. Fine, you know. And then we won't, they're not taking them from me. This is the Lord's. And we talk about being wise stewards. Do you think that the Lord could not replace any of these things? How many of you have ever been in a car wreck where your car has been totaled? And did not the Lord give you a new car when he decided on it? Or it broke down somewhere. Did he not find the means to fix it in his timing? And all we have to do is be in his timing. If we start to get frustrated with things, if we start to say, well, things aren't happening fast, these bills are coming due and what have you, then you're not in the Lord's timing. You need to rest. You need to sit back and allow the Lord to drive. Scoot over, okay? He's not the co-pilot. He should be the pilot. And if he's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Move over. Let him drive the bus. Okay, let him drive the plane. Wherever it is that you're going, let him be in control. That takes a weight of pressure off of us. It really does. Oh, man. That's how you can get the peace. That's where the peace that comes, that we don't understand comes from. He's doing it. I've got it. He's got it under control. He said he would take care of it. Says so in his word. I'm standing on his word. Okay, fine. He's going to take care of it. Great. He's going to bring things in your way that you had no idea. Things are going to start happening that, wow, where did all this stuff come from? And he's going to get to that as we go on. But here in verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. So not only are people going to come against you, but people, we have to look and say, how would I like to be treated? How do I want others to treat me? Let me do that to them. Then you will be known as a servant of the Lord. Verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Now, this word thank here, we could also translate that grace. What kind of grace do you think you have when you love only those people that love you? Now, the Lord gives the grace to you. The Lord loves us. He pours out his grace to us. And so here it is, putting it on us. Now, 1 John tells us that they will know us because of our love one for another. But if it only goes to there, then our love is in vain. That's what James is talking about. If you're hearing only and not doing, okay, well, yeah, you love one another because they love you, because you love Jesus Christ and are able to have fellowship. However, it extends beyond that. It extends beyond those that we love. It extends to those, what did he just say? And he's going to come back to it in case we missed it. Loving your enemies. Praying for those who despitefully use you. This is the essence of the gospel that he's talking about here. But you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it. This is not possible. It's not even possible to fake this. Some people try to do a good job, but it's a matter of the heart. If you're not born again, you can't do this because it's all done by him. And that's why he's laying it on so heavy on us here, or so you would think if you were walking in the flesh. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? Again, what grace have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. And then so verse 35 comes. He's trying to make it so that you can't go anywhere else but to him. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Oh, man. What now? If we are doing these things, what will we be called? Children of the highest. In essence, he's saying, you cannot do this. You cannot be children of the flesh and do this. If you're doing these things, you will be recognized as children of the highest. That's how you are recognized. And if you can't do this, what are you going to do? You're going to go to your Father and get the help that you need in times of trouble. When you are lacking these things, He is going to give them to you. In John 17:23, this is something that you should commit to memory. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You cannot do it on your own. It has to be through Him. And so He's praying to the Father for us, that they will know that I am in you and you in me, and we are in each other. So God is in all of us that profess Jesus Christ. And it's only by His power that we are able to do these things. Moving on. But before we move on, I'm sorry. Look what it is that He says here. After He calls us the children of the highest, He says, for He is kind. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to them. And so what happens to us as disciples of Christ? Remember, that's who He's talking to. Okay, He's talking to His disciples. He's telling His disciples this. As we look at this, so we as disciples become like our Master. He's going to, in verse 40, He's going to say, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So Jesus relayed to us what the Father was doing, and He's saying that this is what you will do. You will do these works and greater works. Greater works than these. Now, raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind is small potatoes compared to being able to do this stuff. Okay? We may think, oh, well, you know, that has benefit. That has, you know, somebody's being benefited by these. But if you can look at the Word and say, this is happening in my life, these are the greater works that the Lord is talking about, that you are going to do. You are going to be transformed into this. This is what it is. When people see you, this is what they're going to be looking at. You're going to be kind to the unloving, to the unthankful. Is there anything worse than unthankfulness? I mean, when you give somebody something, you expect at least, you know, thanks, you know, or whatever. But, you know, when you don't get nothing, you know, it's just kind of like, hello. Come on, what, you raised by wolves, you know? I mean, you didn't learn any manners? What, you know? And you know, I always cringe, you know, whenever we go somewhere. But my kids are really good. They're really good about them. One thing that I can praise my kids about is that they say thank you. I mean, they're very polite and that kind of a thing. So I just kind of, every time, you know, sweating great drops of blood until I hear it, oh, okay, all right, you know. So there's nobody here that wouldn't, you know, that when somebody gives them something, you say thank you. I mean, that's just, you know, just common courtesy. But then there are those who don't. They don't say thank you. Now, the Lord, God of all living, has given everyone life. He's given them a life and breath. And, you know, and the ability to appreciate. But when you're not thankful for those things, now, turn it around. Are you thankful for these things? Do you get up and as the Lord brings it to your mind, are you thankful for the things that you have? I mean, not the stuff, but the people in your lives, your families, your friends, those people that care about you and those people that you care about. You have the ability to love. You have the ability to love and can be loved. Man. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And so as we look around us and we see, well, yeah, we can praise Him for a beautiful day. But can we praise Him for a cloudy day? Can we praise Him for a rainy day? Even though you got to get out and you got to go to work and you're going to get soaked by the time you get to your car. Can you praise Him in that He's sending down the rain to replenish the earth? That everything is going like clockwork, like He said it would? In the book of Genesis, He says, springtime and harvest, and all these things will continue until the end of the world. And so when we see these things, can we praise Him that He's keeping His word? That He's, you know, thankful He is. You know, I mean, because if He changes His mind, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. You mean the Lord could change His mind? No, He says, I will never change. Lest you be consumed, you sons of Jacob. Now, that's you can look that up for yourself, and if you've got a concordance, you can go run that through. But think about the implications of a God that changes his mind. Ooh, man, I'm sure I would want to serve that. I want to serve a God that's consistent, that has set his word down for us to read and stands by it. He honors his word higher than his own name. He honors his word above his own name. So we can trust in this. We can really bank on this. In verse 36, he says, Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now in Exodus 34, as we've been going through the book of Exodus, we're going to get to this, but this is just so cool the way that the Lord describes himself. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. They're talking about Moses here. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So not only is he gracious, and not only will he not remove his graciousness from those that love him, but he will not pardon those that will not ask for it. You're not just going to get off free, get out of hell free ticket. You're not going to get one of those. They're not issued anywhere. For those that love me, I have graciousness, I have mercy, I have truth. But for those who don't and do iniquity, I will visit them to the third and the fourth generation. So that he says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. So we can trust that he's going to take care of it. And it really doesn't matter how he takes care of it. What matters is how it pertains to us and how we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're not interested in the vengeance part anymore. Remember, it said in the Romans, recompense no man evil for evil. We're giving that judgment unto God. Let him deal with it. Let him handle it. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want it clouding my mind because the enemy will use that. He'll bring it back. He'll bring back these little things that somebody's done to you 20, 30 years ago. I'm still getting thoughts from, oh, man, remember when, don't you want to just, yeah, I do, but you know what? I got to lay it down before the Lord. And I got to repent over and over again for those things. And the rage just wells up with it. But the Holy Spirit, you just think about what you would be if it wasn't the Holy Spirit keeping you from doing those things that you have thoughts to do, man. I would be in prison. Probably everybody else. We'd all be cellmates, probably, but, it's just kind of girls and boys' prisons. But you're without that knife, boy, and, okay, you cut me off, pal. I got your number. All right. So, and it's so tempting to get the license number in there. You can just write it down. Jot that number down. I'm going to look that up later and find you. So, in 2 Samuel 22, going on with how merciful the Lord is, it says, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, and with the pure thou shalt show thyself pure, and with the froward or the perverse thou wilt show thyself unsavory. So if you're merciful, if you're not merciful, what do you do? You confess to the Lord, Lord, I'm not merciful, I need your mercy. So hand out your mercy to me. Verse 37, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. So often there are so many things out there that we want to judge. We want to make sure that the things that we're doing is right. And so when we see things that are wrong, we tend to, that's wrong because the word says this. Remember what it means. Truth without love is brutality. And the Lord is able to fix those things. If somebody's born again and they're doing something, now if it's blatant sin, yeah, you come alongside as a brother or a sister and say, you know what? What you're doing, this is wrong. You can't do this and this is not a witness for Christ. You're stealing from your company or you're doing this or that and fill in the blanks, whatever it is. But you can go before the Lord. You take that person before the Lord. Lord, if you want me to say something, I'm available to do that, but give me the right heart to do so. Because I don't want to go in there with judgment. And you Christians, if you're being confronted with somebody, don't be so quick to quote this verse. Because in quoting this verse, you're quoting judgment to yourself. Because a brother is come or sister is coming to help you, which you have told them that you want to happen. As you in this fellowship, as we see, we walk with the Lord and we want to come alongside and we want to help and we want to be an encouragement one to another, but in love. And so, you know, don't be so quick to, you need to get on your face and say, well, somebody is seeing this in my life. Is there something to it? Is there something that I need to change in my life? Is the thing that I'm doing, is this really sin? Because the enemy can come by and they can blind our eyes into thinking, hey, I can justify this action. Oh, I can say, oh, yeah, I can do this. Okay, it's fine. And it leads from one thing to another until a brother or sister comes alongside, hey, look what's going on. In the book of Corinthians, Paul is talking about, hey, look, there's a guy in there that's committing fornication in your fellowship. This should not be. You need to take care of this. Okay, it was blatant sin. And you need to put this guy out until he repents. Now, I'm not saying that that's going on in here, but I'm saying that, you know, look at what's at stake here. Your eternal life is at stake here. Okay? You can be deceived. We can all be deceived. And there isn't anybody in here that hasn't been deceived at one time to a certain degree or another. We think that we're going in the right path, but as we step back and how did I get here? I haven't prayed in months. I haven't read my Bible in weeks. Man, I haven't been to church in days. What's going on? How did I drift so far from the Lord? How did I get so busy? Okay, and so it's easy to get off track and sidetracked. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. So, it's stuff. God's given you the stuff. And if God wants to take away the stuff, so praise God. Let him do so. He can give you more stuff if you need stuff. Whatever it is that you need. You know, you don't have to go and fundraise. You don't have to put up a website and saying, you know, we need money to stay alive. Otherwise, we're going to fail in this ministry. If God is not able to supply the needs, then he's trying to shut it down. And there's so many ministries out there on TV and radio land that solicit funds from old ladies that you know, they're shut-ins, and they're so blessed by these things. But the Lord's been trying to shut these guys down for years, but they keep sending them their grocery check. They go hungry, and yet these guys are, you know, they're trusting God for jet fuel for their Learjet so that they can go overseas to do whatever it is that they're doing over there. But so now the Lord's going to get into some parables. And remember what a parable is. It's a story to reflect a truth. Okay? Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Now, Jesus kind of puts the earmark on who the blind people are. The blind people were the Pharisees. You know, they were the ones that were doing the law. Remember the professional law keepers? And they were puffed up with pride because they were doing the law. And they would keep themselves pure by keeping away from everybody else. They would sequester themselves and only hang out with their own kind. So who are the blind here? The blind will lead the blind into the ditch. What is it that we are supposed to do? We are supposed to point people to the light, okay, to Jesus Christ. We and ourselves are not the ones that lead. The only thing that we're supposed to do is lead people to the Lord through the Word. Get into the Word. See what the Word has to say. The Word is able to teach you. The Holy Spirit is able to teach you. If you find passages in here that you can't understand, then pray the Father would open up your eyes of understanding. Remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he breathed on them and says, receive you the Holy Spirit, and they were able to understand the Scriptures. That's what it's about. He is wanting to do those things. So I think we're just going to cut that because we have communion today. And so we'll pick it up at verse 39 next week. But as you're going through your week this week, your day-to-day, whoever you happen to run into, know and just be cognizant of the fact that the Lord is working in your life. He's pouring out His Spirit upon you. He's transforming you. He doesn't want to leave you in the way that you came to Him. He wants to change you. And He's going to put that desire in your heart for Him to do that. It's not something that's going to be forced. Nobody can force you into it. Nobody can make the decision for you. It's something that He wants. It's a personal relationship. And so I pray that as the Spirit is poured out to you and as the Spirit touches your life, that you would respond accordingly. Let's stand. Bow our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy and the grace that you pour out to us. I thank you, Lord, that your word just instructs us on the way that we should walk. That we can't do it in our own selves. We haven't got the resources. But you have the resources. You pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, so that we can walk in truth. I pray, Father, that as we get ready to for communion, Lord, that we would remember you. Remember the things that you have done for us up to this time. And the things that you're going to do yet. Oh, Father, we do love you. And, oh, Lord, I just pray that you would help us in our struggles. As the man cried, Lord, help my unbelief. I have doubts sometimes, Lord, and you're bigger than my doubts. Oh, Lord, help me to run to you. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.